Thank you, Johnny. I want to leave a verse of scripture with you this morning. It's found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's good to get good news, isn't it? The gospel is good news. Our word gospel comes from two old English words, Godspell. And the message spells God's love to our hearts. The word gospel is used 99 times in the New Testament. And here in my text in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul uses it again. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." By saying that he wasn't ashamed of it, it meant that he delighted in it. He loved to proclaim the message. Why? Because it is the message of glad tidings to men and women. But there have been differences of opinion down the ages as to what exactly the gospel is. What exactly is this good news that God wants us to hear? Some people think that when you're preaching the gospel, you are telling people you can have a purpose in your life, or that you can have a meaning in your life, or a personal relationship with Jesus. And all those things are true, and they're all important, but they don't get to the heart of the gospel. The gospel is called good news because it addresses the most serious problem that you and I as human beings have. And that problem is simply that God is holy and he's just and I'm not. And the standard on which I will be judged is a standard of perfect righteousness. So I need to hear good news. I need to hear something that will allow me to stand before God on that day. That is the gospel. And you need not only to hear the gospel, but you need to have responded to its claims. And that's vital. I can't overemphasize how vital it is that you understand and respond to the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible is our final authority on these things, as in every other matter. So for a minute, I just want to see what this text proclaims about the gospel. The first thing I want you to see is the definition of the gospel. Notice some things that we learn here in Romans chapter 1. Notice the source of the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1 calls it the gospel of God. God is the source of this good news. It is literally the gospel out of God. It originated in the heart of God before the foundation of the world. And if I'm going to listen to a gospel, it needs to be God's gospel. It was God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's no point in a gospel that is not God's gospel. Men may have all sorts of opinions. They may give you all sorts of counsel. But even the men that have learning and would have expertise in their own field, they can be disproved the next year. So I want something that will not change or be proved false or be disposed of with the changing fashions of this world. I don't want man's opinion or church doctrine. I want what God says. It must be God's gospel. That's why I must go to the scriptures. That's why I must build my eternity on what the Bible says. So I notice the source of this gospel, but also the subject of the gospel. The subject of the gospel is Jesus Christ. Paul says here, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Christ is the heart and the essence of the true gospel of God. It is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that say, "Well, the gospel is about loving others." Well, that's a fruit of the gospel, but it's not the essence of the gospel. There are those who would direct you to the ordinances or sacraments of a church. And again, ordinances are important, but they're not the essence of the gospel. The essence of the gospel is Christ. Anything that does not direct you to Jesus Christ himself is a false gospel. You remember what the Lord said himself? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father
but by me. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the way to the Father. And all who come to God must come through Jesus Christ. So there's no point in you thinking that you have your own way to God. There are people who say to me, well, I have my own way to get there. Well, I have to tell you that if you're going your own way, you'll not get there. You must come God's way. You must come by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the source of the gospel and the subject of the gospel. But notice also the salvation of the gospel. Paul tells us here that the gospel he preaches is unto salvation. This gospel is about salvation. And if it's about salvation, that implies something very clearly. And it's this, that you need to be saved. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. People like to talk about their character flaws or their wee faults or about their mistakes or about their shortcomings. But the Bible calls it what it is, and that is sin. And the Bible also makes it clear that no sin can come into the presence of God, not even one. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13 says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. The Apostle James said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. One sin is enough to condemn. And I want you to realize the implication of that. It means that every one of us is condemned. Those times when you disobeyed your parents and all those acts of rebellion are counted as grave in the sight of Almighty God and they merit eternal death. God's standard is a standard of absolute perfection. He may love many things, but he hates sin. That is the message of the Bible. You need to be saved. But the gospel message is good news because the amazing thing is this, that God sent his Son into this world to live a life of complete righteousness and then to be taken and die on the cross in agony and shame. He died for sinners. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, for Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The good news of the gospel is that Christ died so that you might be brought to God. How did he do that? Well, the Bible tells us he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He bore the sins of his people and took their punishment. And the wrath of God that was their due was poured upon him on the cross. And because of that victory of Christ on the cross, men and women who come to Christ in repentance can be saved. That is the good news of the gospel. But not only do I see in this text the definition of the gospel, but I want you to see the dynamism of the gospel. It says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That word power there comes from the Greek word from which we get our English word dynamic or dynamite. There's power in the gospel. Our congregation is celebrating its 60th anniversary. The congregation was born out of a gospel campaign here in 1951 when a young evangelist by the name of the Reverend Ian Paisley preached the gospel. In that gospel campaign, there were mighty times of prayer. Those who were there testified to the mighty sense of the Spirit of God and the prayer meetings as they prayed for neighbours and friends. The evangelist testified that on the first Sunday night of the mission that he spent half the night upon his knees in prayer. And the power of God was demonstrated in that mission. 94 precious souls professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We still have some of them here in the congregation today. They're still saved. There was a transformation in their lives. God drew them by his power. I think of a member of this congregation who has now gone to glory. He was an alcoholic. He spent his weekends going from one pub to the other. And then when the pubs were closed on Friday night, he went early into the morning to the clubs in Belfast. He drank regularly through Friday night and through Saturday to closing time. He many times went to work with his lunchbox under his arm, only to jump off the bus and spend the day in the pub. His life was a sorry mess. But somehow in the midst of that, God's power began to work. And he decided to go to a gospel mission in Hillsborough Free Presbyterian Church. And on his way, he took cold feet and he ended up in a pub in Revarnet. But he eventually arrived at the gospel meeting. And he was a little bit the worse for the wear by the time, and people thought there was going to be a row. But no, there in that place, he put his trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the drink was dispensed with. He never touched another drop. His life was transformed, and his home was transformed, and his financial situation was transformed. That is the power of the gospel. That's the power I'm talking about. I think of another man I was speaking to on Monday. He was here a few years ago, and he was caught up in gambling. He started off gambling about 15 years of age, and he put a few pounds on the horses. And then he went off to England with a friend. Eventually ended up in London in charge of a public house in the West End with the pop stars and the film stars coming in. But in that place, his love for gambling grew, and he said he was a compulsive gambler. But there was a man at the Greyhound track at Walthamstow that wore one of those scripture jackets with scripture texts on them. And God began to speak, and God's power began to work in his life. And eventually that man came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And immediately he did so, the love for gambling disappeared. He told me on Monday, he has never gambled since. That's the power of the gospel. I take you to another man, his life ruined by drugs. The youngest son of a family, he broke his parents' heart. At the age of 15, his father had to ask him to leave home. And he was put out of school. And he was going to live it up. And he got into a life of trouble and crime and into drugs. He went from one drug to another. One time he took a whole cocktail of drugs and drank in an attempt to kill himself. He had to go to the cardiac hospital. And he was 5 or 6 days unconscious. And then his body had enough, and he had to have about 50 or 60 operations. And one time he was on the point of death and was about to die, and he realized that he wasn't saved, and if he went out into eternity, he would be lost. And somebody pointed him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in the hospital bed, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he got better. And the first place that he went to when he went home was to the fridge. And he got the booze and all the old filth that he had in the fridge. And he said it made him physically sick to touch that stuff that he lived for before. That, you see, that's the power of the gospel. It is real. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There is real power in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can know that power today. So we notice the definition of the gospel and the dynamism of the gospel. But I want you to see the demand of the gospel. You see, Paul says here that this power is to everyone that believeth. This power is available to those that believe. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. As soon as my all I venture upon the atoning blood The Holy Spirit enters, and I am born of God. Has there been a time in your life when you've called to God for salvation in faith? Do you believe that God is able to save you? Then you call. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe that? Well, call now, wherever you may be. That's all you have to do. Venture on Christ and his atoning sacrifice by faith. In the 19th century, there was the greatest tightrope walker in the world by the name of Charles Blondin. On June the 30th, 1859, he became the first man in history to walk on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. Over 25,000 people gathered to watch him walk the 1,100 feet suspended on a tiny rope, 160 feet above the raging waters. He worked without a net and without a safety harness of any kind, and the slightest slip would have proved fatal. When he safely reached the Canadian side, the crowd burst into a mighty roar. In the days to come, he would walk across the falls many times. Once he walked across on stilts. Another time he took a chair and a stove and made an omelette in the middle of the rope. Once he carried his manager across on piggyback. And once he pushed a wheelbarrow across loaded with 350 pounds of cement. And on that occasion, he asked the cheering spectators if he could carry a man across in his wheelbarrow. And they said, sir, of course you can. And he pointed to a man in the crowd. And he said, do you believe that I can bring you across? He said, sir, of course you can bring me across in your wheelbarrow. Well, said the great Blondin, hop in. The man said, no way. No way. You see, that makes it clear, doesn't it? It's one thing to believe that a man can cross by himself. It's another thing to believe he could safely carry you across. But it's something else to entirely get into the wheelbarrow yourself. Are you in Christ? He has promised to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. If you can by faith, with a desire to repent of your sin, turn to God today, you can be saved. That's the good news. That's the best news that you could possibly have. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I pray that you will make good on that good news today and come to Christ for salvation. May God bless the preaching of his precious word to all of our hearts for his name's sake.